Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We just have a good rhythm together, you know. He sort of feels me out, I feel him out, and we go for it.
Hello and welcome to episode, I'm pretty sure, 39 of The Worst Idea of All Time, season 4.
It could very well be 40, but honestly, it doesn't seem relevant right now. I'm Guy Montgomery. The first person to talk today was Tim Batt. And I'm grateful for that because it felt like we were both just going to stand aside, you know, two polite gentlemen constantly ushering for the other gentleman to walk through the door first, refusing to bow to social pressure to just take the first step. Not today, death.
My man. So inefficient, isn't it?
Talk to me. How are you?
I feel good. I had a really good sleep. I got to watch the movie last night in my marital bed with my wife, or at least most of it. She fell asleep.
Did that feel good, or did that feel dirty?
I was just so appreciative. We watched a movie on Netflix, and it was really early, because it's dark here now, very early at the moment, here in Auckland this time of year. And we stayed and we watched a movie on Netflix, and then I said, I've got to watch Sex and the City at some point between now and 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, Zoe. Do you want to watch the movie with me? And she said, yeah, okay. I said, really? Really?
That is so sweet.
It was very, it really set my heart on fire. It was so
nice.
Did
she realize what a kindness she was doing you?
Yeah, I think so. I definitely think so, but she's a very kind person. So she took pity on me.
Nice.
And it was so great, man. It was like I felt very focused on the movie. I felt like I was getting the emotional beats that were hitting a little bit harder. There was a lot of things that I sort of noticed structurally about the film that I hadn't really bothered to mull over in my brain before.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Man, you really did it.
Namely the fact that, like, this movie, I think this is part of why it's so long. Pretty much every point of action that happens in the film, this is how the movie works, this is how Sex and the City works, like, beat structure. Something will happen, and then the gals in the very next scene will discuss what you've just seen transpire on screen. So it's like, there's this rule in storytelling, and especially with film and television, of show, don't tell. Which means, like, instead of explaining all of the story, just, like, show me what happened, right? So in Sex and the City, they make the bizarre decision to show you the story and then tell you after you've already seen it what the story is. And I think that's part of the reason why this duration, 2.5 hours is hefty, but it feels even longer than its runtime.
They've baked in the director's commentary, but it's not the director's. Exactly. It's the characters
exactly.
to whom the story is happening.
That's it. If you think about it, they do it every fucking time. Like,
that's such a funny articulation of it. Do you know that? But that's probably like the meat and potatoes of the show, right?
To an extent, yeah, I think it is. But it's just like, in what other film do you see shit happen? And it's like, well, we better go to a local cafe or Starbucks to discuss what we just saw. It's wild. It's no good.
It's great. They should do that with, modern movies, with superhero movies.
Oh, yeah, with the Avengers. Just them getting a Coca-Cola afterwards.
Yeah, and going, wow, we really did a battle. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
But There's the other thing. It's kind of like I get these are different genres completely, but it is what makes superhero movies so cool. It's like they just go and fucking do stuff and don't talk about it. And in this, it is the complete opposite. Very little is done, but much is talked about.
And also in superhero movies, often they have superpowers. So things that you can't do that it would be cool if you could do.
And yeah, so, I mean, this movie does have Brady.
And seeing the characters do some of those things, you're watching and you're thinking, wow, that's something that I might do if I had that power.
Yeah.
And people love that.
Do you feel like in Sex and the City, though, Guy, you're like, oh, this is how I would react if I was jilted at the altar?
I have never bothered to speculate how I would react. I would hope not to react like that, because this week, I'm going to tell you my thoughts on that question, Tim, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit about my watch.
Okay, great.
But I guess, you know, immediately that's probably how I'd react. You don't really get to choose how you react to those sort of big defining moments in life, do you? Some reptilian part of your brain or, you know, existence.
I disagree, actually. But I want to hear you out.
System override. I think I like to pride myself. I think I'm pretty good at self-care. So I guess I would identify if I need to be by myself or surrounded by friends and just pursue that and then start taking it day by day. I imagine I'd probably start running quite a lot. Carrie, for how incredibly toned she is, doesn't appear to exercise at all. I guess they deem that not worthy. I think a trip away sounds good, although it can be quite isolating. I guess yes and no is the answer. But at the end of this movie today, when Big and Carrie were lying in the wardrobe, also I picked up a really nice bit of delivery from Chris Noth then, when she goes, this is a really great wardrobe. And he says, thanks, which I haven't noticed before, but it's just a nice little real beat where it's like, it's almost a laugh line. It's a really nice wardrobe. Thanks. You know, it's ancillary to the bigger conversation they're having. But yeah. I was just watching that thinking, I reckon this jilting happened a year ago. Is it really healthy for two adults to spend an entire year not talking to one another, but just so entirely devastatingly hung up on one another for a full year? Like, is that the healthiest emotional response?
Not at all. And
it's crazy.
Do you know what's even more fucked up? Is like, you know that whenever you go through a breakup, there's always those ebbs and flows. It's just like part of grieving for the relationship that is now over, that you go, oh fuck, I wish I was back with that person. And what Carrie and Big decide to do with that ebb and flow of the tide is tie the fucking knot in the middle of one of those emotional waves. Like, bad decision making, guys.
What?
Fucking hell.
We see
some of that impulse control
fallout in Sex and the City too. There is no impulse control. That's the thing. Because, impulse control often, you know, I guess, I feel like you see a lack of it in terms of financially and professionally in this world, where it's like they just indulge whatever whim they have, you know, I guess, under the belief that it will make their life better, or perhaps from a broader perspective, the story better. But, like, yeah, I think we've sort of stumbled into this observation at a similar time. I just couldn't believe it. I was like, so much time has passed. You guys have made no attempt to move on, but also no attempt to communicate the fact that you're both not doing that to each other. Like, you're both so emotionally damaged. I guess the only logical conclusion is that you wind up together. But just section yourself off from society. Stay in the penthouse and just stay out of everyone else's hair.
It's so you don't need to inflict this on the world, Carrie and Big.
It's absolutely not.
It's something they need to discuss as well. Like, I think Mattress Pike King realizes that this is the ending that is required of the show, of kind of their relationship story arc. But he also recognizes that it's very, very bad for this to happen. So, and I might butcher the exact line verbatim, which I shouldn't be doing when we're approaching 40 watches now, but it wasn't logic, it was love. That's what Carrie says and the band swells, the string orchestra swells as if the magical life force of love itself has lifted these two kids up above the the hardships that their relationship has faced. And it's like, I guess, except that there's no externality that they're fighting. They're fighting their own neuroses and inability to get this together.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just go, they've experienced a year of pain, which is their doing, as a result of something really bad Big did, which is their own doing, and then wipe it all away and pretend they're going to live happily ever after. It's very stupid. It's a very bad, and I think, like, actually dangerous representation of what romance is.
Do you
know, that's the old Disney version of romance, and it's bad, I think.
Yeah, and that might be a place wherein it's not faithful to the TV show, because I feel like the TV show at least didn't shy away from the fact that, you know, life is messy.
Exactly.
What you've described to me, to use an analogy, it sounds like it's a movie where we watch someone looking in a mirror, punching themselves in the face for like 85% of the movie, and then the last 15% of the movie is that person deciding not to punch themselves in the face, and we're meant to be like, wow.
But I would argue that they do punch themselves. I think them getting back together is the biggest self-punch you could have. They shouldn't be together. They're bad for each other.
No,
they don't make each other happy. Yeah,
I mean, this to me is the age-old argument, because they should, because otherwise they're out in the world. Like,
Yeah. We've talked about this before. Like, they have to contain each other, because
it's very important that they contain one another.
It's very true.
So, Tim.
Yeah.
I'm in Australia right now. And
I thought you were.
I scheduled this watch for quite early in Australian time. I didn't watch it yesterday. The day got away from me. I had to do some shows last night. I got home. I put it on, but I was too tired. I just fell straight asleep.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm going to wake up in time to watch this.
Yeah.
Tim, I did not wake up in time to watch this. So I woke up at 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
We were meant to watch it at 8 a.m. Australian time. I thought, I can't do that. But there is a way I could make 8:15 a.m. Australian time. And I also found a way to compress the movie to half of its usual runtime at an hour and 15 minutes. So I have just watched the entirety of Sex and the City in double speed.
Observations, Monty, takeaways. What was the first of all, let's start with the general shape and outline of the watch. How was it, just in broad terms?
There's a real sense of urgency on screen.
I'll bet.
And it's funny to see that and to think, I felt like I was the only one who knew. I felt like I was driving a car full of people who were on amphetamines. And I was like, it doesn't, you know, we're still not going anywhere, guys. Everyone was racing around. It's really quite unsettling. And then it becomes more unsettling when you settle into it and it becomes normal.
I wanted to throw this out, see if this hits the mood. Have you ever seen Home Alone, the first one?
Of course, yeah.
The opening sequence where the McAllisters are running around the house. Getting ready for the flight. Was it kind of that? Just chaotic nonsense where nothing's actually getting done, but everyone's sprinting.
That's too positive. I mean, yes, in a sense, yes, but also no, because this is, you know, in addition to various other factors, it's unique to see these characters who I've seen, you know, slobbing around, just dragging themselves through this movie to really be like, all right, let's really get to work. Let's really get to work today. And I found, because I was like, I wanted to take a film of it, like just a little snippet to send you to represent how fast it was. But I didn't want to send it to you before we started recording because I wanted to reveal that to you.
Nice.
But by the time I decided I wanted to do that, I had adjusted to the speed of the movie, and all the videos I took, even though I know they were happening in double time, felt like they were normal speed to me, and none of them
fucking
were good enough.
Hell.
So I kept deleting them.
Jesus, guy.
Yeah. It's pretty out there. And I want to tell you about, I don't know if I should, but I'll tell you about when I woke up and it was a really weird sort of experience waking up and getting ready to watch it. So I woke up from a dream I don't know quite how it dawned on me with it. I woke myself up inside of a dream to watch this. And inside of the dream, I had run into one of the stars of the TV show. Did you watch the Nickelodeon show, The Adventures of Pete and Pete?
Rings a bell.
It was two redheaded brothers, I think both called Pete, and they would cause mischief.
Right.
It was definitely a Nick show. I think it was on air like 90s. I don't know what it was, like mid 90s. Anyway.
Okay.
I ran into and recognized one of the brothers from that show outside his house. And I said, hey, you're from the show, The Adventures of Pete and Pete. And he said, no, I'm not. And I said, yeah, you definitely are. And he said, no, I'm not. I'm absolutely not. And by the way, that show doesn't even exist.
Whoa.
And I said, I'm pretty sure the show exists. And so, like, Googled The Adventures of Pete and Pete on my phone in the dream, and just this huge debate was raging online where people were arguing about whether or not this show existed.
Oh, Jesus. Guy.
Yeah, I know.
I'm worried about you.
And when the argument was happening, I was like, oh, I know who'll know about this. Cynthia Nixon. And, like, started Googling her. And then when I was Googling her, I was like, hold on, Cynthia Nixon? And woke myself up and was...
That is fucking crazy, dude. That's no good.
No, I don't think so.
What is happening in your brain is no... I am very worried about you, man. That's not on.
I went to sleep sober at a reasonable hour.
We got to pull a plug on this fucking season, man. This is this is a medical emergency.
Not yet.
We got to get the kids out of the pool. Someone's taking a deuce in here and things are about to get very, very sick.
I've got more information to share with you, though.
Off you go.
If you were in the wardrobe runway show that they do in Carrie's apartment where they all try on their old clothes, it's very easy for us to sit, you know, on the sidelines and take pot shots at the moves they decide to do. But what moves would you do?
I love the importance with which you've sort of entered into this line of questioning. Like, it's a really big deal. I guess, what would I do? Probably an attempt at the robot, considering we're listening to the greatest hits of the 80s.
Okay, that's great. That's a really strong offer.
How about you?
Well, no. Let's say you have to do three takes.
Okay. So, Mr. Roboto, maybe like try a moonwalk, which I don't know how to do, but you know,
I love that. I love that. It's a loaded move. You know.
Yeah. There's a bit of nutmeg in that one, and I would also go. You know the song Walk Like an Egyptian by the...
Yeah.
Is that the Bangles?
No, but I know the song. Oh, it might be by the Bangles. I don't know.
I can't remember who it's by. I'd probably try and put... Because, again, that dance in retrospect probably hasn't aged terribly well, probably a bit dicey, but it's big. It's big.
Yeah. You know? I like... They're all dance moves, your ones.
Yeah, because I don't think I've got enough subtlety of form to pull off anything
well,
else.
I know that they're professional actors and they're getting paid millions of dollars, but this is the thing. I was thinking about it, watching it, you know, with the knowledge that they had to shoot these takes without anyone who was responding. Like, they're acting to a director or a producer who's just yelling out how the woman would respond.
Yeah, so weird. Like, that's their job or something.
Yeah, so that they walk out, you know, in their new outfit, and instead of seeing, say, Carrie, Samantha, and Miranda there, Charlotte just sees a camera and a producer next to it going, okay, and now they're saying, take this outfit. And so
you
she
are
offers-
really, hold on, guy, I got to stop you down, because you're really like, you're crossing the streams now. Charlotte doesn't come out and sees a director and a camera. Kristen Davis comes out and sees a camera and a director.
Look, if people can't keep up with the mental decay that I'm experiencing at this point in the podcast, that's entirely on them. Do I have to spell everything out for this?
Do you know what? It's
libertarian, it's not, ingrate.
It's not for our sole libertarian listener at this point. It's more for me to check in with you that you have some stick still in reality and what's happening.
I know.
Because I feel like I'm losing you a little bit. And
I know where my
me.
Bread's buttered and it's okay. in the kitchen. I see, but so that would be hard. And so, you know, to have to offer up all these different takes would be a challenge because I always get angry when I see the scene. But then I was like, well, what would I do? And I think it would just mostly be stuff with my legs.
I reckon
I'd do a big one with my legs. Just do some skips and jumps and twists.
Maybe a John Cleese.
Ministry of Silly Walks. Yeah, it'd sure, why not? And then I'd probably do a roly-poly. Then I'd do one where I'd go behind the clothes that are hanging on the shelves on either side, and I'd like weave in and out of them and pretend to get lost.
Oh, yep. It'd sort of poke your head out. Like, now I'm over here. Now I'm over here.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I think that if we were to watch those 40 or 39 times in a row, I don't think those would look very good either.
I think that, honestly, what you've described, what we've just both thrown in, I think they're more interesting offers than what the actors took on the day. So I stand by our choosings.
Yeah, nice.
You've just triggered a memory of mine. I had a dream last night as well. Do you want to hear about it?
Well, I told you about mine, so I simply have to listen.
I can't remember very many details, and it sounds like you very enthusiastically want to hear what this is, what I have to say. I think Zoe and I were on a holiday in America, and I think we were in New York, and someone said there's a Bernie Sanders rally happening outside, and I was like, oh man, when else am I going to get to see Bernie Sanders? And I ran out there so I could see him in real life, and there wasn't anyone there except Bernie Sanders. I think I missed the whole thing, and for some reason, like, everyone had gone, and he was just there sort of packing everything up, but he was 6'6" tall. He was so, so tall, and I got to talk to him briefly.
That's so big.
He was like a giant.
That's probably a subconscious representation of the standing he holds in your mind.
Definitely, yeah. I even asked him. I said, like, how tall are you? I didn't realize you were so tall.
Dude,
he said, I'm
never
6'6".
Ask tall people that question. They hate it.
Oh, sorry, Bernie. Sorry, Dream Bernie.
Yeah, it's
my bad.
I think you got away with it.
Now, here's an interesting thing. I kept pressing Zoe on the rankings of the men, who was hotter. And at first, it was quite fascinating. At first, she said that Big was the hottest guy. And I was like, really? She was like, yeah, he's got great eyebrows. And then she saw him again, like properly saw his face. And she was like, oh, wait, no, no way. And then he ended up being kind of bottom of the list. So remained top of the castle. Far out. Went Steve, then...
I mean, to be honest, to the surprise of absolutely no one, Steve, in my mind, is almost suffering from like popularity fatigue, where I'm like, yeah, of course Steve's, you know.
Yeah.
Of course Steve's the favorite. Like, there's an oversaturation of Steve in the marketplace.
But isn't it at least interesting to know that he's pretty much got unanimous number one spot from all that we've polled?
He's the only character given enough depth to like, but not enough.
Nah, it's because we see his butt. We see his cute little tush.
But I feel like we're given enough time with him to learn to like him, but not so much that they inevitably fuck it up and make him a detestable piece of shit. Even though this movie does contain Steve cheating.
Yeah, I know. It's a weird paradox of this movie, eh? That he's the... Is he... He's kind of the only... Well, Big, it's pretty cut and dry, isn't it? I was going to say, he's the only character who does something black and white very bad. Like, there's no nuance to it. But that's true of Big as well.
Bailing
on someone at the altar.
Do you know, he does do something bad, but the way he takes ownership of it is commendable.
Yeah, there's some redemptive features to how he deals with the whole thing. Whereas Big just comes across as kind of whiny, like a bit of a whiny
Everybody
dog.
Hates Big. That was meant to be an approximation of the Everybody Hates Chris theme song. My man, I want to tell you something.
Yeah.
I spoke to my mum after the podcast the other day.
What did Charlotte have to say?
Well, you know how I was lamenting that she didn't have any sort of, you know, emotional response to what I was doing?
Yeah.
She said, what were you doing this morning?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, a podcast. And she said, you're not still watching that bad movie with Tim, are you? And I said, yeah. And she said, why are you doing that? It makes me sad. So, I've upset her.
You've upset Mom.
Not for nothing.
This is not good.
Not for nothing, my man. That's all I wanted to tell you.
Do you feel guilty about that?
No. She, like, you know, she still loves me.
She's got her hooks in.
She feels sad. Not for herself, I think. She feels sad for her boy.
Yeah, totally.
Her strong, teenaged boy.
Yeah.
I'm 14, bro.
I know. I get that energy from you. You are 14. You're
my
a good
man.
14-year-old, though. You're not a bad one. Good as they come.
I want to talk about Charlotte.
Then we shall.
How does everyone just accept that Charlotte is going to eat pudding this whole trip? It is fucking bonkers. There's like
I was trying to probe Zoe about this because she is a doctor. I was like, you know, I was trying to get into the nitty gritty of what it would mean for a person, but she wouldn't engage.
Like, there's the lightest ribbing from everyone when she makes this decision. Where you're just going to eat pudding? It's the only thing that's safe. But otherwise, all of her friends are just like, okay, we're going to continue with our holiday. Like, that isn't the most insane fucking thing in the world.
Hmm.
To only eat chocolate pudding and then to just do it so brazenly. So when they go out for dinner in the restaurant, right?
Mm.
They sit down before they've even ordered anything. Just as soon as they're given the menus, Charlotte just takes two little puddles of chocolate pudding out of her handbag and breaks one out and opens it up and starts eating it. I mean, I know that they're in a hotel and so, you know, they've sort of, that they can eat whatever they want. But first of all, that seems super rude to me.
It's incredibly rude.
And I mean, if you went on holiday, say you and three friends went on holiday and one of them was like, I'm just going to eat chocolate
pudding. Hey, can I stop you there? I would love that. Sorry, go on.
Well, I'm gonna throw a hypothetical which might reduce your love. A friend of yours was like, by the way, I'm only eating chocolate pudding this holiday. Not even as a bit, not even as like a, look at this crazy challenge I'm taking on. Can you believe it? I'm only going to, but just as like a genuine decision that they've made for themselves. Like you would cut that person off because they're so fucking thick.
Isn't that so funny that if you change the context to it being a personal challenge or some sort of bet they'd set for themselves, I'd be so behind it. But if it wasn't, I would be so fucking furious that they were doing it.
That is pretty odd. It is funny. It doesn't speak well to where we're at.
No, but I think we've forged at least a component of our sort of, you know, comedy careers based on eating nothing but pudding. There's kind of what this podcast is.
This is, we are eating the chocolate pudding right now.
Yeah. We are Charlotte.
We're up to our guts.
Wait, what is the French...
Just we, Charlotte. Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. We are all Charlotte.
We truly are.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
But I would not have any respect for that person anymore. And they wouldn't be my friend.
Try to intervene? Like, these women are, and also this is an interesting thing I worked out last night. The age gap between Samantha and the rest of them is way bigger than I thought, because Carrie is 40 at the start of the film, and I know that about maybe a year plus goes by, but Samantha turns 50 in the final scene. So there's like just shy of an entire decade between Samantha Jones and Carrie Bradshaw. It's a lot of years.
Yeah, but you know, the older you get, the less that the difference in the age discrepancy in your friendships matters.
Yeah, that's obviously true.
In school, that would be insane.
Yeah.
But even 20 to 30 as friends, you're like, you know, some 20-year-olds are mature.
I guess. Yeah.
I mean, 40 to by the time you're at 40 to 50, it's... But yeah, I know what
40
you mean.
40 to 50 is fine. If there's a 30-year-old with a lot of 20-year-old mates, I'm kind of going, that's probably not someone I'm wanting to be friends with.
Super sus. That's a decision that they've literally taken into their own hands for you. Like, no 30-year-olds want to hang out with me.
Yeah, but exactly.
To me, I don't think, like, I know that they're all meant to be equal friends. There's another weird thing about this show.
Oh, sorry. I just say this real quick. My original point with that is that there needs to be more intervention on each other's. Like, it's weird when they choose to intervene and not. The point where someone says, "I'm eating nothing but chocolate pudding for this whole vacation," that's when you, I feel like, as a friend, can step in with some firm footing and go.
That's a big intervention point. And in the hypothetical, I imagine, if that happened on a holiday I was on, I would not have brought along that friend. A friend who I was good friends with would have brought along that friend, and they'd be like, "I'm only eating chocolate pudding." And I'd be like, "Okay, that's insane, but I don't know you well enough to say anything." Yeah. You know, but the thing is, all of these women know Charlotte well enough to say something along the lines of, one, "Charlotte, that's a pretty racist attitude." And two, "I'm not going to spend any of this holiday with you if all you're going to do is walk around eating fucking chocolate pudding out of your fucking handbag, you dumb idiot."
Yeah.
It makes me so angry.
It's no good.
And the thing is, she takes it out when he's taking orders or whatever, when they first arrive with the menus. Like, a whole meal passes, a whole round of drinks and a whole savory meal passes, because we see other people's plates are full. Or like, not full, sorry, but like, you know, they're empty, half empty, so they've been... You know, they've had dinner. Guess who's still sitting there fucking throwing back either the same chocolate pud, which is crazy because that means that she has rationed one child serving of chocolate pud over a meal.
Be fair, we know she's got two because she snaps them off.
Okay, but this is the thing. There's no empty pottle there. So she has eaten one. They've cleared it away. And I don't have the confidence to go to a restaurant and eat my own food in the restaurant and tell the wait staff to clear it away. I would go to the bathroom and throw it out in the bin. I don't think Charlotte would do that. But you know what? Actually, Charlotte wouldn't have a problem with them taking her away empty pottle. But either...
I know you're digging your heels in with Charlotte, and she deserves some of that for eating nothing but pudding. But she does pay attention to, you know, polite manners and social mores. I think she would try and figure out a plan to hide the evidence.
Across and up, I think she abides social etiquette. But none of the characters in this movie know how to carry themselves. For how much time they spend in restaurants, none of them have any idea how to carry themselves in a public space. They've got no idea how to treat people in the service industry. Like, I can't imagine how many restaurants they've been blacklisted from. Their behavior is appalling. They treat it like their fucking lounge, and they treat the wait staff like they owe them something.
Yeah.
But anyway, either Charlotte has eaten one chocolate pudding very slowly over the course of a whole meal, or the equally disgusting alternative is that she's eaten two chocolate puddings. I mean, neither are good.
No. Nah. She's not all right. And I think we've given her a free pass for the rest of the season, really, because... Well, at least I have, because I've always looked at her life compared to everyone else's, and she's got a loving husband, a good relationship with him. She's got a great dog, Border Collie, I think. Border Collie, Steve's.
She's got small dogs.
She's got a couple little dogs. She's got a beautiful adopted daughter who she loves. She's got another baby on the way. Things seem to be coming up well for Charlotte. She's kind of, it seems like after going through a lot of trouble trying to find how to create the family she's always wanted, she's been rewarded with that, and she's in her little nest. And I think we have skipped over the fact that she's just fucking throwing down pudding at a rate of knots. That is to be, judged.
Well, I think I've taken issue with her, but I think it's because of how happy her life is. Like, her storyline suffers because of, the contentedness of her character. There's nothing she really needs. And, something that we don't even know she needs, she's given, which is maternal pregnancy.
I, despite having not seen the show, have enough sense of the character to know that she went through a lot in the series to try and find... She's one of those people, I think, who desperately wanted to have a family always. So she was always kind of searching for the right guy to kick that process off with.
I find it scary to see those people.
Do you? I think I used to feel like quite cynical about it, but I think I kind of I get it and respect it a lot more now. That's all good.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, I guess even in saying it now, there has been a little bit of more respect for Charlotte instilled in me. I just find it stressful because I'm like, if you want this thing so badly, like they're huge, there are parts of this that are outside of your control, and I find it stressful for someone to put so much value and need in something which is beyond, their ability to control all the deciding factors. Who all they want to do is fall in love, and you're like, this is really unnerving.
Yeah, man. Fucking terrifying, eh, when you meet those people.
It's impossible to fall in love with that energy.
I'm so scared of those people, man. And it's like, I guess it's a perfectly valid way to live, but it seems very dangerous.
Yeah.
It's like you say, you're right. It's very high stakes. You're putting all of your chips on something you don't control. And that's like, you're kind of just asking for a lot of trouble when you do that. Hey, here's all my emotional stability. I'm going to throw it out and the universe will decide whether I get to keep it or not.
Absolutely. I feel like we're almost veering into, Carrie Bradshaw, empty platitude territory here, but I totally agree with what we're saying. Jeez, we're brilliant.
I like that. I totally agree with what we're saying. That's good. We should put that on a mug. The boys are really getting there now. They're talking sets. It only took 39 watches of the same movie.
What was your shining light?
Are we up to 40? It's a good question. My true shining light was getting to watch it with Zoe until she fell asleep.
That's enough for me, man. That's really sweet. Cool.
Great.
I was so jealous. You were messaging me last night. I was like, not only is he doing his homework already, but he's doing it with a friend.
And I think we've got a 100% hit rate as far as I know now on this as well. Every guest we have on, because they're all women so far, has pointed out the pearls thing, Carrie wearing pearls to bed. And lo and behold, didn't say a goddamn thing. And Zoe just went, why is she wearing pearls to bed?
I said that early too. It's stressful. She's going to choke.
She is. Oh, and Zoe also fucking hated the ring. She was like, how much did that ring cost? I said $50,000. She said, are you kidding me?
$60,000.
No. It's 50, it doesn't get to 60. It's either 50 or 55. Oh, no, it's 55.
Yeah, it's more than 50 because that's her
Sorry, cap. You're right. You're right, because Samantha puts a bid on for 50. It goes for 55 to her partner to give to her.
Oh, I loved your shining light, man. I'm happy for you guys. It's a beautiful thing you've got there.
Mm.
Marriage, lucky, man. I respect it.
Yeah, man, I'm pro it. I'm on the record.
I respect your marriage. I respect your love.
I'll stop introducing the movie to it, though. I don't want to tempt this beautiful thing.
Jeopardize it. Rock the boat, man. That's what makes life interesting. My shining light was actually a Samantha line, and it was one that I've not loved before, but there's something about it, you know. I think maybe what it was lacking was punch or verve. If you speed it up, it really comes into its own. It was after Lily answers the phone and says, sex. And Samantha says, are you sure that's not my child?
Yeah.
And I was like, that's true to the character.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've met friends of parents in my life who, like, you know, who probably have based a lot of their personality or characterizations off of Samantha-isms, where they're like, they're always throwing out quips, you know. And a lot of them, if you listen, a lot of them are nonsense. Like, isn't it funny? Not in the movie. In life, like, you know, people who are always trying to do quips.
Yes.
There's not that high a hit rate. You know, they're just throwing out sentences. You go.
There's a lot of people out there who understand the kind of the mechanics of a quip and like the broad structure of what they sound, almost like the rhythm of a quip. But the thing is with a quip is it's actually got to be a joke. There's got to be sort of a second meaning or something behind the line, something a little bit funny. And a lot of people just throw out nonsense with the cadence of a quip. And they look around for adoration and recognition that they've done a good thing. And they're
Everyone's done it. And then, you know, if you've done one and it's been nonsense, all you do is you sit or stand there and you hope, you're like, please, no one call me out on that. I hope we can just all glide by like what I just said made sense.
It's so true. It's so true.
You know, it's a terrifying moment. But yeah, she threw out a quip. It made perfect sense. It fit within her character. And I was into it.
That moment of waiting to see if anyone will get you is like the social equivalent of being shot down in the war and seeing if you're going to get captured as a POW. It's like, am I going to get out of this thing alive? This is absolutely nerve-wracking. This is my pure survival we are talking about.
It's just so funny. I feel it less now, but I remember when I was younger, like in my head, I'd think of a funny thing to say, or you know, like, you know, when you just don't back you're not backing yourself in conversation and you're like, oh, I could say that there. Nah. And then I just sit there stewing. I'm like, I reckon if I'd said that, it would have got a laugh, you know.
I cannot even fathom a Guy Montgomery not throwing down, because I've only known you as an adult and I don't even know what it would look or sound or smell like to experience you at a semi-confident level in a conversation. I don't think it'd be any good.
It still happens because I'm not always in environments where I feel, you know, like I'm confident, you know. I get cowed and intimidated.
Mm-hmm.
But no, generally speaking, I feel pretty confident to say what I think now. And because I agree with everything we're saying. So why wouldn't I say it? I got very little left here, Tim. Do you know, I'm really grateful. I told Chelsea, my partner, I was texting her, and I was like, I've had to watch the movie at hyperspeed. And she messaged back saying, aren't you going to get in trouble for that?
Do you know, I went on my phone super briefly to check an email, and Zoe said, excuse me, is that cheating? Our partners are keeping this project honest, eh?
It's so funny, because I was like, well, I'll find out when I record, but ultimately conflict is good for the podcast. But I
remember I remember the time, like, in the, you know, the previous seasons of this podcast, I would be kind of mad about that, or we would try and rectify that by next watch, you have to do it half as slow and stuff. I know that. I know to our one libertarian listener, they may be baying for that slow motion blood in the future watch.
Oh my God.
You, like, I want to just briefly before we end this episode, I really want to put an underline under this because we've kind of mentioned it a few times, but I don't think people appreciate it. Doing this twice a week has been so fucking hard, like, from an emotional and mental standpoint, and also from an organization point of view. I am in so much financial debt because I have to dedicate so much fucking time to this podcast now and, like, cleaning up the recordings and getting them online and stuff. And it's so great that we've got, like, you know, some ads and Patreon money coming in now. It is not covering the time I'm putting in here. I am going backwards as a result of this podcast. It is, like, crazy how much time this podcast takes now. And that is to say nothing of the emotional toll of watching Sex and the City, the movie, two times a week, continuously, for months on end. Like, it ain't good. It's really not good. This season has been palpably different. So, like, there will be the odd time when Guy and I have been on our phones a little bit, or maybe we'll have to watch it at double speed on the odd watch because Guy, his body physically needs sleep to function. Like, you cannot... I just want to get out ahead of anyone being upset with us. You can't be upset with us. This has been a real struggle this season. And I know we're not even near done yet. We're over halfway, which is a great feeling. There's lots of mountain left to climb. But we need to be kind to each other to get to the finish line. If we are anything less than very kind to each other, our relationship will not sustain the end of this thing. This is the greatest challenge I've ever faced.
Oh, man. It's great. That was a beautiful speech.
That's all I have to say on the matter.
And impassioned.
Oh, also.
You go.
While I'm on my fucking soapbox, and I will save this for a friend zone, which I want to record with you very soon when we can carve out some time. But it has recently been brought to our attention that Blaze Pizza is now advertising on podcasts. If you work for Blaze Pizza, if you know someone who works for Blaze Pizza, and I'm not talking the people manning the oven where you can get a flash-cooked pizza done in 6 minutes, I'm talking about the upper echelons. I'm talking about the people writing checks and forming marketing budgets. You need to send them our way. Because payments are due.
We need
and
to,
these debts must be paid.
We need to mobilize, and we're gonna have more details on how you can do that very soon.
And I want to remind you fuckers that I own blazepizza.co.nz. So if, I held on to that. I renew it every year. If you fuckers want to enter this territory, you come and you play ball. Yeah, I tried to buy blazepizza.com.au this morning. Someone else has got it, which kind of bodes well for me because I feel like it might be the company and they're looking to expand out to here maybe. I don't know. I will not part with this thing. You can pry it from my cold, dead hands unless we start seeing some fucking checks.
The road to franchising in New Zealand runs through Timbat, and that is a road that is tough to get down.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, everyone.
God bless you. Catch you guys at the Facebook, facebook.com/worst idea of all time, or on the Patreon, patreon.com/TWIOAT.
All the gods bless everyone except for the fuckers at the top of Blaze Pizza.
Hashtag fuck Blaze Pizza, hashtag pay the boys. Good night, everybody.
We just have a good rhythm together, you know. He sort of feels me out, I feel him out. And we go for it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.